welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a highly regarded Italian blend from Il Mulino di Grace, their Il Volano. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
And I'm feeling feisty tonight.
You're
drinking Italian.
Italiano. Yes, we are.
We've been going down a path.
Well, let's not talk about that. Don't talk about the path, Scott. You see, the path leads to Thailand and acting like a snakehead and selling people for money. We all know that that's what you do. And you said it's because you had ties to the CIA. I think it's a lie, though. You were never in the CIA. I figured it out.
Yes, we're just reliving the in-laws.
What? I don't know what that means.
Alan Arkin passed away this week, folks.
Oh.
Great loss.
Right, yeah. Anyway, on tonight's show.
Did you know Alan Arkin was in a folky band that sang the Banana Boat song?
I don't know what the Banana Boat song is, but Wilford almost chimed in.
You don't know the Banana Boat song?
I know what a banana boat is. That's true, yeah. I know what a banana hammock is as well. I've seen that. It's fantastic. In Thailand, strangely enough. I don't know. Yeah, and the lobster does cost a dollar, folks. You know, just $1, yeah. Anyway, on tonight's show, we have a Tuscany blend, or Tuscan blend, whichever you want to say. Blend from Tuscany would be a better way to say that. And it's from a producer that, I don't know how well known it is, but if you see it on the, if you saw the label, you'd say, oh yeah, I've seen that around. The winery is Il Mulino di Grace, okay? And this is their Il Volano. The Il Volano is around $15.
Il Volano.
And it is 80% Sangiovese, 20% Merlot. 100% stainless steel, too.
Okay.
It's, you know, and they have Chianti, they have Reserva, they have Gran Selezion, and they have another one that is down this line. Let's just take a look here. They have the Gratus. And it's Sangiovese, Canalino, and Colorino. I don't know what that is, but it has some different things. And it looks like, it's a later harvest wine. So, and it's in 12 months of French oak, but it's also a lot more expensive than this.
IGT.
Mm-hmm.
Tuscany.
Yeah.
Bit of an oddball.
It is, except for the fact that is a Tuscan blend that much of an oddball? They're like, I mean, think how many ones are out there.
Oh, for sure.
You could throw a rock at a freaking giant eagle freaking Italian section and just hit one of these things.
Yes, but 80% Sangio. 20% Merlot. A little weird.
Sometimes they're 30-30-30.
Yeah.
With some change. I mean, one is like Vidiano. It used to be, and I don't know if it is still now, but it used to be 33-33-33, Sangiovese, Cab, Merlot. I don't know if it's still that. Via Antinori. Via, what is it? It's up there somewhere. Well, Banfi makes a ton of stuff like that. The Colossi, the Centine is another thing. These are all different things down this line, around in the teens. This one, though, does have a secret, and we'll reveal it when we come back.
Oh,
but
Lord.
It does, in its secret, it does. There is some anticipation that this wine is a little bit more unique than those other ones. I'm just saying.
You're getting a little whiny almost. I'm like, worried.
Well, this is a wine program. Oh, see how I did that? Fantastic. That's right. That's right.
I forgot.
Right. It's very, very clever.
I forgot. We've only been doing this for what? Six, 7 years?
Eight, I think. Yeah.
And it's a wine program.
Six. I don't know.
Forgot. I thought it was about bad humor involving, hopefully, no more pedophile jokes.
Well, Scott, that's true. But I mean, you know.
Because there's 20 of them.
Well, that was funny.
No.
You don't have to relive it, Scott. No. I didn't bring that up.
Bad.
No. Well, yeah, it was bad, but you wrote the joke, Scott. Just put the. I didn't write it. You know, I write the Christian jokes. They don't make sense.
You write the Christian jokes.
I read the Bible all day long to try to be able to tell you those jokes, Scott. So,
were you in Philadelphia for the Moms for Liberty convention this weekend?
What? Yes, yes. What? What?
The Moms for Liberty, the Florida school freedom, parental rights on education.
You lost me when you said Florida. I'm sorry. Well, I don't.
Yeah, you're not allowed there. That's right. Just put the
convention. I'm not complaining about that.
The convention was in Philadelphia.
Oh, my gosh.
Ring the Liberty Bell.
I'm looking at some dirty jokes right now, but they're racist. That's not what I was looking for. That's a sex joke is what it was. And that was a racist joke. I don't read racist jokes. That's not a sex joke.
But if it was a racist sex joke, you'd read it?
That's right. Oh, hey, Scott. You know what the proctologist said to his patient?
What did the proctologist say to his patient?
The proctologist said, "Hey, sir, don't worry. It's normal to get an erection during this exam." You know what the patient said?
What did the patient say?
But I don't have an erection. You know what the doctor said? I was talking about me. It happens, you know. You know,
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. That's a funny joke.
No.
It wasn't. No. You told me to tell that joke. Yeah. Hey, Scott. Why can't Miss Piggy count to 70?
I can't imagine why.
Because every time she gets to 69, she gets a little frog stuck in her throat. Yeah. Did you get it? You didn't get it, did you?
I think it's time for a break.
Because she's blowing Kermit the Frog. That's the joke. I got a spoon feeding folks. He's pretty stupid.
Well,
you know,
some things are better left unsaid. There.
Yeah. Hey, Scott. What does a robot do after a one night stand? This isn't a very good one, but
the dance.
No, he nuts and bolts. You get it? You know. I'll be here all week, folks. Thank you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's true.
Oh my God. Yes.
Probably be leaving me text voice messages in Wilfred's voice.
Oh God. Oh well, folks. We're gonna take a break because I just read the next joke and I'm gonna go throw up in the corner. So we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Il Molino di Grace, Il Volano. We're just going to call it it's actually Grace, but we're going to call it Il Volano from now on because the rest of it's too much. Scott and I were talking off the air about, some of the jokes that Scott wrote. But more importantly, a lot of these Tuscan blends, and he was talking about the Via Antinori, which is made by
Antinori.
The powerhouse of Antinori. And you were mentioning, you didn't like it that much. And it's not that it's a bad wine. It's a good wine. But sometimes these wines aren't that exciting. They just aren't. They lack, I don't know. You like elements of Sangiovese, but then when you blend it with some of the Bordeaux varietals, sometimes it just loses a little bit of the edge that you're looking for, that you enjoy.
Sometimes I'd just rather have that 100% varietal Sangiovese than some of the Tuscan blends if they're not spot on.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just seems like they're lacking something.
Sometimes. Yeah, they can be.
Well, this wine does have a review, and it's from the Wine Spectator.
Thank you. This is James Suckling. Scott, I worked for the Wine Spectator one time.
Did you?
Yes, and I also go to Thailand quite a bit as well.
What happened to your departure?
Did you want to share a cab ride next time from the airport?
We're going to take a cab ride to Thailand?
Yes, I hear we go to the same places. Wilfred told me that. So.
Wilfred told you that.
What is your deal on
that? You know that he's largely unreliable for his...
He is, yes, yes. And he tells me dirty jokes, and I don't understand them.
Well, that's you be you.
It was a joke about a vampire in a bar with water and tea. I didn't understand it very much, but that's okay. Anyway, the Wine Spectator provided this wine 91 of their points, which is... That is a lot of points from the Wine Spectator.
They are mostly speculative.
Yes. Dark black cherry, blackberry plum... Eucalyptus, earth, and iron flavors are embraced by beefy tannins. This comes together on the lingering finish, if not with the length of its peers. Sangiovese and Merlot, best from 2023 through 2030.
They're very speculative.
Someone's optimistic.
They're very hopeful. It's what I like about them.
Well, they're plucky.
Plucky?
Plucky.
Plucky?
That's a plucky assumption.
It would be very plucky if you held this for 2030.
Many people buy $15 bottles of wine and store them for 7 years.
But.
that's just silly.
Well, you know, 100% stainless steel. It's just Sangiovese and Merlot thrown in there, baby. I mean, they're not necessarily putting a lot into it, so, you know, whatever. I would say something else about what they've done with this wine, but there isn't much to tell you. It's actually grown in the hills above Lucerelli, if that tells you anything. It doesn't tell me anything. And it's harvested at the end of September to early October by hand. So, you know.
Lucerelli.
In the glass, though, it does look nice and dark. Crimson, slightly translucent, but you'd expect that with 80%. I mean, if you had, say, 60-40, maybe not. It's got a nice sheen to it. Nice, good clarity, too.
And it's got a, like an oily sheen to the legs in the glass.
Yeah,
It's pretty. It's
not bad.
It's pretty.
The nose is a little overripe in a certain sense, but not necessarily in a terrible way. There is menthol. Red currant and black cherry.
Yeah, and there's just that, as you said, that overripe sense about it. Just a little, not quite jammy, but.
A little brooding and smoky. You know, it's actually a little bit more of a nose than what you'd anticipate with this. And quite frankly, from the Spectator. So this is the 2019 vintage. The 17 vintage got a 90 from the Spectator and a 90 from James. Yes, I gave it a 90 from James. And then the 16 got a 90 from James. The 13 got a 91 from the Spectator. The 10 got a 90 from Spectator. And the 08 got a 90 from James. So it's not like it's never gotten... decent reviews before. Apparently the 18 tasted like, you know, James's pee, but, you know, the rest of it was apparently delicious.
Well,
have you never had my pee? Wait a minute. Have you been to Thailand?
Oh, Lord.
Everything happens in Thailand, Scott. They say what happens in Thailand stays in Thailand.
That's Vegas.
Well, for that, I know. That's what I found out because I got chlamydia in Thailand and it came home with me. I don't know. And I thought it stayed there.
That's Vegas.
No, I got chlamydia in Vegas, too.
Maybe you just have it, and you didn't get it there. You just have it.
You mean I'm a carrier? Maybe
you're the source of chlamydia.
That's a good point.
Chlamydia was never diagnosed until you brought it to the world.
My doctor said I was patient zero.
Yeah, well...
But he's a psychiatrist. So I'm not quite sure what that means in that context.
Yeah, that's not a good context.
No, it couldn't have been good. No. He was calling the police when he said it, so I just...
Jesus.
Oh. Yeah.
Let's go in.
It was hot in the room, so I had taken my clothes off.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I can hear the sweatpants crunching.
Yes, that was true.
Maybe plum. It's a good nose, though.
It's Sangiovese.
It's Sangiovese. It's Sangiovese with Merlot added to it for a rounder mouthfeel. It.
Yeah. It's okay. Let's give it a second.
I did not give it a 91 this vintage. I abstained. I was like, no. Would you like to review it again? Like, no, I'm set. It's got good length. If you like that flavor for a long, extended period of time. But yeah. Normally I like my cabbage a little, shorter.
There's nothing off-putting about this.
No, it's just dull.
It's just extremely dull. When Rob talked that Tuscan blends can be dull, this is exactly what he had in mind. This is boring.
Well, no. I'm going to stop. Okay, let's start again. First of all, on that poll, always the first poll is the worst poll, except for really good wines. And then it's great. But this does, on the front palate, have a nice round fruit mouthfeel, which is a little unusual for Sangiovese, but it really works well. I do like that cherry and some plummy fruit, but it has a real nice roundness to it. So that's good. The wine has a decent amount of weight to it as well, especially from 80% cheaper Sangiovese. So that's good. I think what it needs, strangely enough, is an oaking component.
Yes.
To add complexity to it. Even if you charge $18 a bottle, it just adds a little more complexity to it. So that's one thing that's missing. But...
And I wish the Merlot would be more Merlot-esque.
How so?
Dry. I wish it would be just have a hint of more...
You mean a little more stringency?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Just that kiss of Merlot. And I realize it's only 20%, but we've got nothing from the Merlot.
No. That sip.
In terms of that astringency.
That sip on the front palate, I'm getting a little more chocolatiness. A little more chocolate towards the mid palate. I like that. It's starting to grow on me. But the one thing, once you get into the mid palate and go further, it doesn't have a chewiness that you're anticipating when that front palate. It doesn't really match up with that. It doesn't do too bad, but it's not necessarily as chewy or as kind of scrumptious as the front palate is. Then it kind of lessens out. It wants to show some tobacco. It just isn't quite yet there.
What do you call it, iron?
The
review said
minerality. I call it more of a general herbaceous minerality of some kind.
Yeah, I'm not. I would go herbaceous. I'm not seeing the.
Well,
no,
it has a maybe a slight hard, not metallic, but hard edge streak through the mid palate with that herbaceousness, and that's the iron to a certain extent. All of that could be really, made harmonious with a little bit of oak.
Yeah.
6 months will do.
I mean.
Just a little Slovakian oak. Just let it splash it up on there. Wouldn't that be good? That'd make this wine really good.
I'm not a fan of this wine. It's.
I don't. I think it's okay. I think it's good.
Okay. It's, as you said, dull, boring.
I'm taking that back. I retract it.
You're retracting it. I'm sticking with it. It's not my favorite. It's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
If you lined up 10 wines that I like and this was in that grouping, I wouldn't pick this one.
Right.
But, I mean, there's a lot of wines I would pick in a heartbeat over this. But, seeing that's in front of us right now.
Yeah, and so...
This would be good in an Italian restaurant as an alternative, especially with something maybe that's a little bit more heavy of an Italian meal. So, you know, brujol, it would do well with that. But roasted meats mixed in there. So say you're having your strip steak and, you know, an Italian restaurant, and you don't want to break the bank on a bottle of wine. This isn't a bad choice for that.
Yeah, and I think going just a different direction.
I'd rather drink this in the Via Antonori.
I think similarly it was...
Save the $5.
A little
bucks.
Disappointing, Six a little bucks. Bit five. Yeah, different price point, that's for sure.
Yeah.
This would do well in your... So I'm thinking of the local steakhouse that really struggles with their wine offerings.
Yeah.
This would be a good one.
$35?
Yep.
That'd be good.
$10 glass pour, $12 glass pour. And
don't serve it warm.
It's
but
better than what they've got out there.
Oh, hell yeah.
And also,
bone dry.
To be fair, it's a different style. You know, this isn't Chianti. No. But if you compare this to Chianti from a quality standpoint, this would be way above middle of the road. It's not the same wine, but just as a point of reference.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Especially Chianti Classico. We're not talking about Reserva or something like that. But yeah, no. I mean, yeah, same price range as like a Banfi or something like that or a Gabbiano.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is Sangiovese, but it's just... Chiantis still can have a small percentage blend. This is just ignoring that and going beyond that. That's why it's IGT.
Mm-hmm.
But in the lower end price range, it gives it weight. It holds back the acidity of the Sangiovese. It gives it some depth.
And the acidity is really well balanced here.
Well, and the Merlot, I think, is helping with that.
It really is. And you know, that was your point there. And, you know, sometimes Sangiovese's or just Italian blends in general can be a little bit out of balance with the acidity, and this one's not.
Yeah.
So they get points for that. That's well done there.
Well, I can really taste the Merlot in this wine.
Yeah, I just wish it had more astringency to it. I just love that. I just think it just needs that, or as you said, the just subtle oaking, something to take it somewhere where it's not going right now. But again, it's what, $16?
I would love to try a version of this exact wine on a little bit of oak.
Yeah.
Because I like it. I really do like this wine. I don't think it's as boring as I thought. No, I don't think that it necessarily tries to be something that it's not. It knows what it is, and it's more of like an Italian Thanksgiving dinner kind of thing.
I think they do know what they are. This wine does know what it is.
But I think the grape stock is there.
Yeah.
And the winemaking is there. If it was on some sort of oak, it would be, well, like what the Spectator said it was.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's pretty good.
It'd have to be done subtly. I'm not sure.
Well, Slovakian, French, whatever.
Yeah, it's just it's used oak.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. The Merlot is showing. It's just not giving me that astringent mouthwash finish thing. No,
but not all Merlot does that.
That would be nice with this wine, too. Just a hint.
I don't know.
More dry.
I don't know. I think that at any restaurant that we go to for Italian food, Frank would do well with this. He would like it. He sometimes likes things with a little bit different, a little more of a floral aromatic, quite frankly. But
it'd be interesting to see what Frank thought of this.
I think he would like it. I think he would say that's pretty good. Because I think that's a fair statement for it.
Because for the price point.
It can't be great because it's not oaked. But the grape stock that they're using and the way that they did everything with limited manipulation is very, very impressive, really.
Yeah. So he's got back his source on that Tree Rosa.
Frank,
that,
you mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That... red blend with the three indigenous grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nice. It's simple, but a great expression of minerality and to indigenous grapes to Italy that you can't get anywhere else, you know.
This wine is the super growing on me. As it opens up in the glass, as your palate gets more in tune with it, it's showing a lot more brooding, savory fruit than you normally really, you know, associate with an Italian wine. An inexpensive Italian wine that's predominantly Sangiovese. If you drank this, I don't think that you would guess that it was 80-20. You know, because it is, it does have a brooding element to it. Many Italian wines, though, have a similar structure to the way this wine comes across. Even like straight cabs, like the legit Cabernet. It has a similar idea. The Italian wine typically follows a mindset, a style, mm-hmm. all right? And, you know, they should be just maybe a lightly bit austere, you know, never jazzy.
Never jazzy.
It's just... So, yeah, not jazzy. Jazzy is not Italian.
And not rough, not brutish, not harsh, not rustic.
Well, no, they usually, can be rustic.
Usually... There's an element of polish.
You can throw up. You're like
Italian
belching
wines.
Quite a bit.
It was a little belch.
Okay,
But it's usually there's an element of polish. It's stylistically Italian wines are always easy to drink. Well, they're never harsh in any way.
Well, slow down. Sangiovese done right, is a very silky, elegant drinker. It is, even though it's acidic and whatnot. Done right, it is an elegant drinker. That's why it's beloved around the world by countless people. But the core of Italian wines, you know, your little simple Primitivo, your little you know, Barbera de Asti, your little, you know, that little stuff, the Montepulciano's. They are rustic, Scott, in their own way.
In their own way.
And so they're rustic in an Italian way. They taste authentic. I normally akin with an Italian's rusticness is authenticity.
Yes.
French rusticness is someone with dirty feet. So, you know, I just had one. It was Chateau La Bourg. I forget who it was by, but it was one of those Costco specials, like $7.99, you know. So the first night you open it, you're like, I'd rather drive over my own foot with a fucking car than drink this. So you know what you do? You vacuum vent it and you leave it alone. It takes a whole day on vacuum vent just to let it blow off. And then it's drinkable. Then it's nice. But that's rustic. But it's rustic because it's going to blow the sulfur off the water. Mm. I mean, you know, the winemaking standards, they might be lacking.
What's a $9 bottle of wine, too, Rob?
It's an $8 bottle of wine.
Still.
Yeah, but it's still.
Yeah.
No, it's still in glass. I just bought a St. Steffi, and it's a Bordeaux region. It's some random thing. I bought it with some other stuff that I bought. And, Scott, you looked at the bottle, but you didn't look at the bottle of the fact that it has the worst seam of any bottle you've ever seen. It looks like literally they glued two halves of a glass bottle together. This one, it has a small seam, but it's not bad. That thing, man, Jesus Christ, it looks like a fucking Grand Canyon. It's just, it's a fissure. And you're like, really?
It allows you to grip it when you're pouring. So it doesn't slip out of your hand.
I guess, man. It's like, wow. Not a lot of quality control.
Yeah, well,
what's the wine taste like? That's what I'm thinking. It's like, oh, jeez.
How can we save a couple pennies? Can we get bottles on seconds? How much does that save us? Oh, do they have thirds? Oh, four. It's okay. Yeah. What's that mean?
If you rolled the if you tried to roll the bottle on its side, it would stop.
Well, I suppose we can sand down the seam so that people don't cut themselves.
Woo! It's like, oof.
No.
That was Bulgarian wine or glass making right there.
Yeah. Belarusian.
That's true. By the way, Becky, ironically, she's not on the show, as you know, because she's just too good. But
for us, too good for us.
She made a comment the other day that she did. She goes, Armenia isn't a country. It dissolved and was absorbed. And I said, I know you'd like to think that it was, but it's a sovereign nation. She goes, no, it's not. It fell and was, you know, absorbed. I went, no, I know that's what you're planning. But she was claiming, she really thought Armenia no longer was a sovereign nation. But you know, I didn't ask her about how she felt about her favorite hot dog person letting Wagner into her country, her motherland.
Well, he's allegedly in the motherland of Belarus and hasn't been heard from since.
Well, you know.
Nor the Russian general.
He's busy eating Lushenko sausages. Oh, what's the guy's name? Fuck Dick.
I'm going to invade. I'm going to overthrow. I'm not.
You know, he's in the news every day, and now he's dead. Well, he's probably not dead yet. He's still probably, parts of his body are connected to electricity.
It's like somebody's a bitch.
I'm going to get you. Oh, I don't want to kill anybody, but I've already killed a bunch of people.
It's like, dude, you can't, like, start a revolt and then say, I was just kidding. It doesn't work that way, bro.
They'll say,
yeah, you could go to Belarus and they're going to kill you, you fucking dumbass. Either do it or don't. You can't, like, half-ass a revolt. I'm just saying. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. You know?
It's like...
just kidding. Psych.
His contracts for feeding the Russian army... Mm-hmm. It's more than $2 billion a year since the war's broken out.
I doubt the food's that good.
That's a lot of food, whether it's good or bad. That's $2 billion of food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How much did Putin get out of that? Mm-hmm. I think he got $1.9 billion, probably.
Yeah.
When's he going to ride shirtless again on horseback?
I don't think he's done.
I have to ask Becky that. She probably knows itinerary.
I don't think he would brave riding on a horse, whether he's clothed or not.
I
think that would expose him to potential for being shot with a rifle from long distance.
I didn't say there weren't benefits to that plan, but, you know. Well,
not for him.
Are we really concerned about that?
Well, so this is what happens when... You're at a point in history where this person in power or thinks they're in power and there's a lack of power and there's going to be, let's just call it turnover.
Mm. What if
what happens in the void? Who steps in next?
Lushenko. What happens if Lushenko becomes in charge of Russia too? That'd be awesome for Becky. She'd be so happy.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. They'd have free sausages all around the country.
Lushenko would keep... what's his name?
Who fucking cares?
Well,
bitch. This is the thing, folks. You mentioned the sausage. If you ever look at Lushenko, doesn't he look like a man that sells sausages in a cart on the side of the road? Now, whatever it is, ports again, he did actually sell sausages on the side of the road in a cart. But he also does. So maybe they started up a sausage business.
Not Prezogin, Prigozhin.
Prigozhin.
You know, deed. A week ago,
he's dead.
Read him every day. Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, I know. You know, it happens.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Wait. Wagner Group got wiped off of Wikipedia? No, not really. This is what it is. He rolled the dice and he lost.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Wilfred.
I got a joke for you.
Do you now?
Yeah. What does an 80-year-old woman taste like?
Oh, Jesus. Wilfred.
Why?
Inappropriate.
Depends. That's the answer.
Oh, Lord.
You get it?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wilfred.
Hey, Scott.
No.
No, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What's green and smells like pork?
Jesus Christ. You've read this one before, right?
Have I? What was the answer? Kermit's finger. Yeah. That's right. Hey, Scott. What is 6.9?
question.
A good thing ruined by a period. You get it?
No.
Yeah, because if you're doing that, then
Oh, Lord.
You just thought about it, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, we're going to be
I wish you'd thought about it before.
Before a
lot of things.
Before you were on your period? Yeah, I know. Well, we're going to take a break, folks, and we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to do something a little bit different.
A little different?
But just a spin on what we normally do.
Spin?
We're going to talk about...
Like sit and spin?
Food pairings.
Sit and spin? What? No.
Food pairings. Yeah, we've never done that before.
What we would absolutely not pair with a food.
With a wine.
Red wines.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to name a food, and then we're going to agree what would we not pair. And we can't use Pinot as the main, because most things are Pinot, you know. So we're going to exclude Pinot as one of those things. I'm going to try to tell you why, and then really,
and this game is not why we would not pair something with.
Yes, and we're also going to say what we would, but we're going to say what we would not first. Okay, so the first would be braised short ribs. What would we not pair with that? In a red wine sense. And we can't use Pinot.
Can't use Pinot.
Well, I mean, that's a thing. In this sense, we're talking about traditional American style, not more of a Tuscany flavor where it's light or whatnot. So heavy, rich, opulent.
Yeah.
So, maybe over polenta, but the sauce is rich and decadent. One thing I would say is, and also we probably shouldn't allow us to say Gamay, because that's what you'd always never say.
Yeah, you
want to stay away from lighter reds.
A lot of people like Beaujolais. A lot of people like Beaujolais.
Yeah, but
it's the grape is Gamay.
We don't hate Gamay.
We don't hate Gamay, but that's just a lighter red wine,
yeah,
and it just wouldn't do well with this rich, opulent dish.
Mm-hmm.
So the rule of thumb we're pointing at here is you don't want to pour a medium-bodied wine to pair with this dish. You want something that's got some backbone. I would think I want something that's oaked.
Richer, jammier, not austere and
at
funky.
All. And
you want to stay away from things from Languedoc. You want to stay away from...
I don't think I would go...
Cheap Bordeaux. Don't do cheap Bordeaux.
I don't even know that I would go French, even though you properly could. You'd want to have a really special French wine if you're going to do that.
Yeah, maybe Fronzac, something like that,
yeah,
which you know is a little bit more...
Bordeaux front.
Whatever. But...
I almost brought Chateau Monvaille. I've got another bottle of
that,
and
that
would have been
nice.
That would be good.
That's a nicely fruited Bordeaux wine. But for the most part, you would want to avoid that. You'd want to avoid, you know, I hate to say this, you want to avoid Tempranillo. You want to avoid wines that have a little bit of a more, I wouldn't necessarily call them light, but they have more of a delicate flavor profile. So there are wines that are prettier by nature. That's what I would avoid.
The soft side of red wine.
I mean, now Pinot is that, but Tempranillo can also be that. Now, they can also be big, massive, beefy things, but they also can be pretty. So especially from Rioja. So if you're going with a lighter Crianza, something like that, those wines aren't going to necessarily stand up to what we're talking about here.
Right.
So I would say, if anything, something from, well, I, you know, you could do something from Sonoma, Napa, a Cabernet, a good one, or from Washington, Columbia Valley, for instance. Those are nice places
safe.
For that.
Safe.
Very safe. Straightforward.
Bigger or bigger profile.
The next would be, and this is a little bit more low country, beef stew.
Okay.
Beef stew, carrots, peas, chunks of, you know, rump roast, whatever you want to put in there. That's what we're talking about. Can be heavy, can be thick, but what don't we want in that wine? Once again, I think we don't want a pretty wine. We want something that's, now you could do maybe something a little more rustic. You could do a Languedoc, a bigger Languedoc with that. That could be an interesting pairing.
I think you could do any introductory priced Bordeaux, any introductory priced Languedoc. Mm-hmm. What you don't want to do is, it's beef stew, man. You know, if you're talking classic preparation, carrots, potatoes, you know, mirepoix, just, you know, saute veg based.
Yep.
Beef stew. You don't. Here's my recommendation. You don't break out your special wine for that meal.
You don't, but for a flavor profile, one thing you might want to avoid are Sangiovese. Sangiovese would not be cuisine clash is massive there. Sangiovese, not a good pairing with that. They need more tomato-based things. So that's not necessarily tomato-based.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. What, you know, if you've got a beef stew that's heavy on the tomatoes content.
Could be.
That would be different. But I don't think of that. Typically when I make a beef stew, I am going to have a tomato element. That's just me. That's just who I am.
But in this case,
I don't think that's very traditional.
No.
Don't think that's very traditional.
You should do it, though, because it's good.
Well, you know, when I make my vegetable-less beef stew, my three beef stew, it's opulent and it's tomato braised, and it does do well with Italian wines, but that's really my keto version on beef stew. It's just different. No potatoes, no carrots.
You would also want to avoid reds that have a port like finish to them. So there are certain things like the Linerth. Remember it's a Cote de Rhone by Chateau Linerth.
Mm-hmm.
That's port style. You don't want to do that. But also Amador Zins. Don't do that.
But
a Zin, a Brambley Zin, would do well with that.
Yes. But you can almost name your red wine with it. I just wouldn't break out a $50 bottle of wine for it.
No.
I wouldn't.
No.
It just doesn't make sense.
Segeshio would be nice.
Yeah.
Might be a little too big, though.
But it's like, you know, any entry price Bordeaux. What's one of the ones we like? Oh, Chateau Bordeaux.
Chateau Bordeaux.
Yeah, that $15 thing. It's Bordeaux.
Oh, Bordeaux. Yeah. Chateau Bordeaux. No, that's great.
Yeah,
it's a great one.
It's $15.
Or the Kirkland Bordeaux Superior.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next, ribs, saucy.
Okay.
Well, what you don't want is Sangiovese. You don't want Tempranillo. Once again, you don't want a pretty wine. You want Zin.
Yeah.
You want Zin. You want Jammy. You could do Barbera. And if you want to have an Italian wine with that, Barbera is a good choice too. But Sangiovese, wines that are overtly acidic, don't work well with that. Sweet and acidity don't work.
And it kind of depends on the ribs and how they're prepared, you know, if they're... Yep. Classic smoky barbecue. You've got some other choices. If it's
avoid overtly
sweet,
oaky
barbecue saucy thing, then it's like, you know. So yep. When I hear ribs, I want a properly prepared rib, drier rather than wetter, and I want it to be pull apart, you know, fat dense ribs.
Yeah.
So I want something that can handle that fattiness. So honestly, I'm thinking like you, just a good, solid Zin is my go-to with the rib. But what wouldn't I serve with it? you know, are kind of in the same kind of class. It's yeah. like, you know, you don't want something soft and subtle. No.
You don't want a red, you don't want a Bordeaux blend from New Zealand. I know that. You but, never want that. You don't want also anything that's a little bit too kooky. Don't do Pinotage. Don't try to be too clever.
CMS.
CMS.
You kind of could.
CMS from Hedges?
But just CMS in general, just a Cab Merlot Syrah
blend. Oh, but no, that'd be fine. Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially if it's domestic.
And it's weird. But sometimes if I know I'm having ribs and it's that drier style rib, not that wet rib, because mm-hmm. typically it's going to be summertime, I don't mind it with a really heady mineral-based white wine, something bigger fine. White wine.
No,
it would be really good with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. If you wanted to go Italian, Primitivos are great.
Yeah,
for that.
Yeah.
But Zin, pretty much. Or Vranic from Croatia. Very good.
Oh, Lord, you're really reaching now.
No, you know.
But we didn't really play this game right because on this third
one. We don't.
We just went into what we would serve it with.
But we also said what we wouldn't.
Yeah.
Overtly acidic, pretty wines. You're not going to do Tempranillo with ribs. You're not going to do. Also, earthiness. You don't want earthiness with ribs. You just don't.
No.
Once again, Pinot Noir has been removed from our list. But any wine that has an element of earthiness, anything that's from Languedoc. Grenache. Keep Grenache off the table.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
Next. Chicken. You're not going to do Cabernet.
When I think of chicken, I think of a roasted chicken. Or maybe you're going to do a really high-end fried chicken, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no. Don't have a fruity forward California style cab. It's just, it doesn't fit.
The only thing that you might want to do with fried chicken is some sort of gamay that isn't bubblegummy, but has good fruit and is light enough, has some nice round fruit. Zin is too heavy.
So for me, it's like, that's where I like that earthy minerality of a good Grenache, you know. I think it fits, or a Grenache-based French blend. You know, when I think of roasted chicken, let's say I'm going to do a pan sauce. Some sort of French blend. Pick your
region. Then, though, you could get to some prettier wines. A properly presented Tempranillo would work well with that, too.
I agree. You could go with a rustic style red wine.
You could,
depending on what the preparation of the chicken was.
But if you did something that is a beautifully pure Tempranillo, lightly aged, it can be a wonderful experience with a really good chicken fat, good pan sauce chicken. That would really do well. What isn't going to do well is anything that's tannic.
Yeah. Let me take you another place.
Mm.
You don't have dinner planned. You're on your way home.
Yeah.
Hey, pick up something for dinner.
Okay.
You stop by wherever.
Get one of those chickens?
Get two of those rotisserie chickens.
Yeah.
What are you going to serve with it? What are your sides going to be, and what's your wine going to be?
My red wine or my limited?
Just pick.
To any wine whatsoever?
And what are the sides you're going to put with it? You're coming home. You're going
to
throw something
together.
Well,
no, in my
household,
you have to have mashed potatoes because of William. Aside from that, what I would prefer, what we like are green beans with pancetta or something like that. That'd be nice. Roasted Brussels sprouts, a little balsamic.
Nice.
With pancetta. Pancetta's always there. I haven't done it in a while, but cheesy broccoli or cheesy cauliflower. So basically, I just saute the broccoli or the cauliflower in the pan and a little butter, a little olive oil. Cook it down, get it just a little bit of color to it. Then throw chicken stock in there and cover it and let it steam and soften.
Huh.
Once it gets to a point, then I throw shredded cheese in there, melt it. Give it a quick whip. You've got fucking something fantastic. You could also, I also enjoy doing like a broccoli cheese souffle, something like that. That's really nice.
Souffle.
Yeah, souffle. Why don't you do souffles?
I don't do souffles. I don't fuck with baking.
It's in the winter, so that's not hard. You just whip up your egg whites and just have a party. It's
no,
great.
No, souffle is not an easy execution, brother. You may have it down. It's just
yeah,
like,
it's not that hard.
It's just like, you know, some people say Rosetta's difficult. Both you and I, it's like, what? Rosetta's fucking easy. It's
what's
just,
Rosetta? You mean risotto?
Yeah, it's easy. It's
Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone.
Yeah,
it's no. It's
now,
easy
souffles
for us.
Aren't hard. Can you do a meringue?
Not most people can't do a meringue, bro.
Well, those people are lazy. But
no, right. baking's hard. Making a sauce, doing meat, easy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, whatever. I bake like 3 things for dinner tonight, but that's okay.
You mentioned the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I'm just talking came about home and Princess, Bob Evans.
Princess was cooking, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And her first thing she made, she likes crock pot green beans that are almost cooked to their liquid.
Yeah.
Well, she portioned, or actually I portioned them up to save them and freeze some of them and had a couple. Then she made mashed potatoes, which she took Wings, which is our favorite Chinese restaurant. Mm-hmm. They have a fantastic chicken noodle soup. She took all the broth out, added it to the mashed potatoes, added her green beans to it, and I come in and she's stirring this mass up. I know it's mashed potatoes, but I ask her, I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, mashed potatoes. I'm like, you put your green beans in it? And I went, okay. But then she said, yeah, and use the chicken broth from Wings. And I was looking and I went, that actually looks pretty fucking good. A little Parmesan cheese. And it's like, bravo, Princess, bravo. She's not normally she doesn't wing things like that. She's very staunch and, you know, it's her way or the highway, and she was absolutely winging it. Don't think she'd ever put green beans in mashed potatoes before. And because she'd cooked the green beans down so much, it almost looked like there was spinach in the mashed potatoes. It looked fantastic. You know, you have those overly parsley potatoes where it's super green?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like, except it was green beans doing it.
If it works, man, it gives you also a little bit more vitamins in your... It sounds like it would be good. I don't know.
Well, with the, and you walked in the door, and it's like that extra thing that she did was the chicken broth from our favorite Chinese restaurant, which mm-hmm. I'm sure has a shit ton of garlic in it. Because it freaking smelled amazing, too.
Well, I'll say this, folks. I make fun of Scott quite a bit. But if he says it's good, it's good.
Well, if Rob says it's good, though, too.
Well,
Rob.
Scott makes this tomato salad. I had the other day, he made it with feta, olives, and then the best thing, though, you used Ridge's olive oil, and good God, could you taste that? It was like a sinful glory triumph of God. God came down and said, thou shalt have this tomato feta salad with olives, and I shall bless it, and those who have partaken in said salad shall live in the kingdom of heaven. That's what that was.
Well, in my feta tomato dish, there's a...
I liked it, in case you didn't know.
It's a simple cheat. And it's my spin on it. And I think it elevates the dish. It's at least two lemons, mm-hmm. but zest of 2 lemons and freshly squeezed lemon juice. Mm-hmm. That's my acid that I add to that dish. And it's a Jamie Oliver cheat on the tomatoes. You soak the shit out of them in a colander. Whether you're going to slice them thin or you're going to treat them rustically, they're in a colander. You throw sea salt on them, and it draws all the water out of them. And that's your seasoning for the entire dish. And it concentrates the tomato flavor. Whether you've got top-end tomatoes or the mealiest aromas you've got, you treat a tomato that way, you will concentrate the flavors. That's my cheat.
Folks, coming to the winevault.org will be some of these recipes. So just in case you were looking for them.
Woo-hoo.
I'm going to do one last one. Well, two last ones, actually, so they'd be two. Ribeyes, Scott.
Ooh.
Obviously, Cabernet, but what pretty wines? Don't do pretty wines with that. Don't do. I mean, you can have a heavy Tempranillo. There are big Tempranillos that you'd say bring on anything, bitches. But lighter ones, don't do that. Beyond that, wines that suck, don't do that.
It's almost like Sangiovese, you need don't do that. To know the quality of your wine.
True.
You need to know the hardiness of the wine. You need a hearty wine that's going to stand up to that ribeye. And when we talk about ribeyes, we're not talking about the quarter-inch crappy ribeyes. We're talking about when we buy ribeyes.
You're not making a cheesesteak out of these motherfuckers.
They're at least an inch thick ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost more importantly that you know the quality of your wine and the heartiness of your wine than what the varietal is.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rob said, Tempranillo could stand up to it if you've got the right Tempranillo.
Yeah.
Cabs can stand up to it if you've got the right cab. Zins could stand up to that if you've got the right Zin. Turley's Howl Mountain. Oh, to live on Howl Mountain.
I just gave a bottle of Cedarman as a birthday gift.
That's a great birthday gift.
It is.
To Icabonis?
Yes.
That's a great birthday gift. Have they had Cedarman before?
No. They've had Old Vine.
Have they joined the mailing list
yet? They haven't yet, but I'm working on them.
To work, there's nothing to work. It's like you send an email.
I'm just saying they won't do it. Anyway, the last one being pork chop or lamb chop, not pork chop.
Ooh,
fuck that.
Ho, 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 ho.
And I'm not talking about the loin chops. I'm talking about the rib chops. Loin chops, that's fine. But you should be eating rib chops. Don't eat loin chops. The loin chops are good, but they're not like no. Rib chops, the lamb lollipops are part of life. You've never had a lamb lollipop.
You haven't lived.
No, you don't use forks to do that. You hold it up and you eat it like a lollipop.
Like me eating the bone that you criticized me for in the restaurant.
I wasn't the only one. Everybody thought you were a freak.
I don't care.
I know. I know you don't care.
That's the one thing about being old that's awesome. I'm old and I don't give a fuck.
You're not that old.
I'm old enough to say I don't give a fuck.
You're not that old. You're old, but what don't you pair with that? I would say pretty wines once again. Also, honestly, don't pair the biggest fucking Napa Cabernet you can find. A lamb chop, obviously, is very fatty and has some minerals, but it's also very sweet. The food needs room to breathe. So you need to balance the food and let the food sing. Some sort of big, massive cab might overwhelm the food. So I wouldn't do that. Like, and I'm talking like Harlan. Don't do that. What I would say really is better. I mean, you can do a cheaper Sonoma cab. But really what works well with something like that is a Zin or something from Europe like Monastrell.
Yeah.
Or,
oh, God, yeah.
You know, or some things from Languedoc if they are not too earthy.
Or a Portuguese.
Oh, a Duero.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's exactly what I was thinking, a Duero.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what goes great with lamb chops?
What?
Having a proper Greek aperitif afterwards.
What's that? An ouzo?
An ouzo.
I'd rather be hit by a bus than drink ouzo.
You're a baby.
I have ouzo glasses, mind you.
You're a baby.
And I hate ouzo.
You're a baby.
I love Sambuco. I don't love ouzo.
Well, have a Sambuco then.
Why couldn't I just drink more wine?
Because some foods deserve that after dinner aperitif.
Yes, but after
lamb lamb chops is one of them.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, no, no, no. Lamb chops is one of them. Sambuco goes great as a after dinner drink pairing for lamb chops.
Hmm.
Check it out, folks.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Il Volano by Il Molino de Grace. Scott, this Tuscan wine that we've drank like it was in a straw, like it was a slushy from Kmart. We've drank this. You've drank more than me.
No, you have filled me up less than you.
I slowed down.
Oh, Jesus. Because you filled yourself up. You gave yourself a Christian
you
pour.
You like to drink
twice.
This. You like to drink this a lot. So go ahead, give the review. No, give your
fine.
Bullshit review that you hate.
It's fine. Uh-huh. I feel like we're going to be in a disagreement here, and that's okay.
I like this wine.
It just doesn't have that thing for me.
What's the thing for you?
It's very true to the varietal. I wish it had more to show from the Merlot.
I think it
but
shows.
But folks, it's a $16 bottle of wine. It's
$15 bottle of wine. $14.99, folks.
Recommend it.
Oh, yeah. Recommend it. Absolutely.
It just... where they get credit, for sure, is the acidic balance.
Mm-hmm.
Really good job with that. And I don't know that that's where they went with the 80-20 to get the Merlot to balance the acidity, the Sangiovese, whether that was the deciding factor on that particular blend or not was good. I just wish the Merlot showed a little more. Rob at one point talked about chocolate. I never saw the chocolate.
I saw it again.
I think it's a really nice Sangiovese. It just needs something. It needs a sparkle of maybe a little more Merlot to give it some more astringency, or that is, as Rob mentioned, it's stainless steel. And it's, but to be fair, it's a really well done stainless steel finish on the wine.
Yeah, for a minimalist approach in the winemaking, there's a lot there. Well, all they're doing is just from two different, you know, 80-20. That's it.
You can't hide anything when you go stainless steel. And they didn't, but I just wish it, like you, I wish it had some oaking. I'm between an 87 and an 88, and that's where I'm at, and we'll just call it a break. Rob wants me to say 88, but I think I'm going to say 86. I'll say 88 for Rob, so he doesn't have heart palpitations. But really, I'm thinking more like 87.5.
That's a good score, though, for this. No, this is a value-priced wine. The 91, you got to ignore that. Although, I mean, I don't know. That's a high score. If it were oaked and it had some more complexity to it, I could see that we might be talking something with a 9. Not quite there yet. I love the fruit. Honestly, if wine.com allowed me to order things, you know, I didn't have to order $50 every time, I would order a couple bottles of this right now, but I'm not going to because of that. But I will buy this old wine again. I like it. I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it 88 of my points as well. I wanted to give it 89. It just isn't quite an 89.
But this wine has a
purpose.
But it's
a really great 88.
This wine has a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, if
you drink.
If you're going on vacation, you're like, you know, sometimes there's a theme to vacation, right? You're not going to bring 12 bottles that are all different. You're going to bring 12 bottles, six of them are the same. You could bring six of these.
And you wouldn't be upset, would you?
You wouldn't be upset. You're on vacation. Yeah, you wouldn't want this out in the sun too much.
No.
But you take a glass out to the pool, and you have that glass, and then you shift gears to something else. This is perfect for that. The evening's over. You've got that covered porch or that covered deck. This is perfect for that.
You're grilling.
Cheese plate.
And then you're grilling. It is a wine that has many, can wear many hats. It's enjoyable. It's just an enjoyable wine. It's recommended by the Wine Vault. You need it.
I would almost say highly recommended because it's just...
We like it.
It's just so easy to drink, and it does have a purpose. It does have a place. Now, December fireplace, this isn't your wine for that. That's okay.
But
that's okay.
But it also no. But fall.
Yeah. Campfire. You got the fire out.
Be a great campfire wine, wouldn't it?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point too.
Yeah.
No, this wine has a place and a purpose. And it's still a little dull, but that's okay. It's still a little dull, Rob. But
no, that's okay. No. Yeah, that's where the oak comes in. We need that twinkle. We need a little twinkle, but the bones are good.
The
bones of the wine are very, very solid.
If it truly had that earthy iron minerality component, this would be a really, really good wine, oaking or not. And it just doesn't.
It would, but then I don't know that I think that with this fruit, if you're pushing the minerality to that level, it might get a little bit, it could even go metallic too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So
easily.
I think that this wine is what it is, and what it is good.
For $15.
Bravo. I'm going to tip of the cap to Il Molino de Grace and their Il Volano. You made a value-priced wine that we like.
I would rather have this than most bad Chiantes.
I would rather have this than any bad Chianti.
Well, excuse me. Than most Chiantes is my point. Not bad Chiantes. Just, yeah, I'd rather have this than most Chiantes.
It's like you know what it is? It's Chianti with training wheels.
Yeah. It's just.
Because the Merlot.
I'm not.
It's round. It's fruit. You like this, don't you? Then you take the wheels off. Oh my God, I don't.
But at the same point, I don't drink this wine. I think, oh, this needs a red sauce. This is not that.
I mean, you could do it with that.
Yeah, I would. There's other things I'd drink rather than that with a red sauce.
Yeah, something a little bit brighter and, you know.
That's not this wine's purpose. There's a purpose.
Yeah.
It's not that. Yeah. We're talking about Italian wine, so some people would go, you know.
Does this go well with mozzarella sticks?
You know what goes well with your mozzarella sticks?
What's that?
Being fat. That's what goes with your mozzarella sticks.
It's actually probably be fucking fantastic with a really good mozzarella stick.
I do like mozzarella sticks, but, you know.
I
haven't been accused of being thin either.
Not marinara sauce, but ranch dressing.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
No, yeah, it sounds tasty, though.
Well,
yeah, no,
a really good ranch?
We could do some DoorDash.
Oh, Jesus.
They'd be cold by the time I got here. So, folks, with that, 288s, highly recommended. Bravo to Il Molino de Grace, their Il Volano. And we will try some of their other stuff as soon as we see it anywhere. Especially their better stuff, because I want to try something with oak. Because they can make a good wine in their base wine, they can make a good wine with their good wine.
You hope it does. That's the one lesson from this. If you can do this so simple and straightforward, where the wine is just so exposed, what are you going to do with your higher profile varietals? What do you do with the stuff that you go, oh yeah, this is going up?
You have more to play with in the play yard. You're going to do something a lot more special. This wine, it was just naked, out front, this is the grapes, drink it, enjoy it.
If this is your entry stock, I want to know what your next level is.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to be watching you, Il Molino de Grace. Bravo. Good job. And you did something that Antinori can't make. A good wine. Which would you rather have, this or Via Antinori?
This. I have to go back and visit it again.
I'd rather have this.
Well, it's $6 cheaper.
And it's
$6.
And it tastes better.
Well, I need to go back and try Via Antinori.
Well, go ahead and do that. I'll wait for you. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.